Usually the last Sunday in November is a Sunday we pass out our budget, and you're going to get that later on. And usually I have a financial message. That might be why nobody's here this morning. They knew it was coming. And so, but I am going to talk about money. We are going to look at what God has financially for us and those responsibilities. I'm going to talk about the budget, and yeah, I'm going to talk about all that. But I'm going to tell you, I'm excited where we are as a church. I've had some opportunities to visit with others and talk with other pastors what's going on. We are blessed because we are becoming a younger church. The young adults are stepping up, and they're ministering, and they're taking part. I was excited with our 40 days of purpose, and the young adults were the ones who really responded into the ministry area as they took it very seriously. The youth went with the coats and things to the gospel mission. The other young adult class, you know, had the garage sale and raised money and gave it to a food basket so we could have some food for others in Salida. The Christmas baskets many of us participated in. You know, I'm excited because it's not just about money for a church. It's about the bigger picture. And it's about ministry and service. But you still need, as you looked at that video, they still need a financial resource. And there's financial needs and blessings there. And so, yeah, I'm going to be talking about those kind of things this morning. But I want to begin with this verse right here. You may be poor and young, but if you are wise, you are better off than a foolish old king who won't listen to advice. I called the message a wise guy. I want to be wise. I want to teach wisdom in financial matters this morning. I don't want to just talk about budget and tithing, because I will talk about tithing. I want you to know that. It's biblical. Look at what the scripture says. I've got to do what's biblical. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that you will not have room enough for it. Yeah, I've got to talk about it. I've just been in some questions about his tithing, New Testament, his Old Testament. It's a teaching of God's Word, and I believe we need to be faithful with that. I believe it's principles that God has set out. I know there's others that say, well, it's an Old Testament thing and all of that. And I'm not going to beat up on the 10%. I believe it's biblical. Matter of fact, on the back table out there, we're going to talk more about, we have set up a table for Linda Maselli out there on financial matters. I put a little brochure out there on debunking five myths about tithing. Pick one up that's got Bible. I want you to go home, and I want you to study it yourself. Not just because Gary said it. You can pick it up. It has some myths in there. Then at the bottom, it has about 15 verses that you can look and you can do your own study. Because that's not my goal. Here's what my goal is. Look at what the scripture says here. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. This is my goal. I want you to think about what God has blessed us, and then as a cheerful giver, to respond to what God has given us. And I want to look at that this morning, and we're going to kind of talk about what it means and how giving and how it all fits together with God's teaching. And I'm going to look at that. As I began to write the message, as I worked on this message months ago and thought about what I was going to do, I was going to talk about the church getting robbed. The church has been robbed. And I was going to talk about how the church had got robbed. Because it is. Look at what the scripture says. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do you rob me? In tithes and offerings. You know, no, nobody walked in and robbed the church. Although what was interesting as I thought about that, Monday morning as I began to work on the message, here's the article that came up. Pastor robbed after answering knock on door. Lincoln, Nebraska. Police in Lincoln, Nebraska are investigating the armed robbery of a pastor at his church. Police say the pastor at 52 years old answered the door at church. Somebody asked for money. He said he didn't have any. The guy grabbed him by the hair, slammed his face under the table, and robbed him at knife point. So churches do get robbed, I guess. I haven't seen that happen yet, but I guess they do. So I want to think about, what does it mean? And I began with that very first verse because we are a younger church. And what's significant about that is studies. The younger ones, I remember when I first became a Christian in giving and tithing. I worked at the movie theater, and it wasn't much. I got $1.65 an hour. Some of you probably got paid less than that. You've been around longer than me. I haven't been around that long. All right. Although I had a birthday, I haven't been around that long yet. But I remember I was getting $1.65 an hour. Anybody remember pay like that? You know, some of you probably got 50 cents an hour. Yeah. I'm not saying you're old, but I can, I've heard the stories. Let me dig myself out of my hole right now. I heard the stories. I worked at a movie, $1.65 an hour, and I started tithing. Didn't even think about it. I can remember when I was pastoring a church. Oh, it was really great this week. Anybody had a great Thanksgiving? And I was talking with my niece, and she was talking about her mother-in-law and that. And they were talking about Fiddletown. They are leading music at a church in Fiddletown. I said, is it this building about 16 foot wide and da-da-da-da? Yeah, yeah, the church. It's the same church I pastored when I was in seminary in 1980, 81. And we began talking about that. It's still the same church. I told you, it is. When I was there, it was the largest church in town, and I had over 10% of the population in church. It was the only church in town. There's 119 people in town, and I had anywhere from 12 to 19 people on a Sunday. See, I was doing well. They have 35 people now, she said, and she's going to take some pictures for me. Jennifer used to ring the bell, you know, take the offering. Jennifer would take the offering. She's like, a little older than Samantha, at 4 years old, taking the offering in the church. And what was so funny, Laura and I would joke about it, my tithe to the church, and I didn't make a lot of money when I was in school, was more than the church was paying me. It was kind of like, I'm paying to work at this church. Yeah. And, but I chose to start with that verse. When you're young, you don't have much. So here's my goal this morning as I thought about the message this morning. I want to kind of lay out some financial principles that if you start now, whatever age you are, can have a lasting impact on your life. That if you begin with these principles, biblical principles, we're going to look at what God's Word says, that it can change and build your life, whether you're young or old, it can make a difference in your life. And that's my goal this morning. Yeah, I'm going to talk about budget, and I'm going to talk about money, and I'm going to talk about tithing. But I want to step back, and I want to say, listen, if you start paying attention to these things now, it will pay off when you're older. See, I've never forgotten when I first entered the ministry. I got into the retirement program for pastors. And I was 27 years old. And it's like, I want to start now. Because someday I'm going to want to retire. You know, and I wanted to start. It wasn't much, but I started when I was 27 years old. And I just want to kind of talk about what does it mean in our financial areas. We're doing great. I mean, like I said, I'm excited about what's going on in our church and the young people. They're talking about being young. They said they're not that young. Anytime you're young enough to be my child, you're young, okay? Yeah. I'm talking to my neighbor the other day, and his wife is celebrating her 30th birthday, and it's like she was born whatever year it was, 79 or whatever it was, and it's like I had graduated high school. I had already graduated junior college. I was almost done with college when she was born. I'm getting old. But I want to kind of look at, here's some principles for you. And again, so you know, as you go out, there's a table out there with some financial stuff on it. Linda Maselli is going to do her Christmas class. She does it every year because Christmas can be a great burden on finances. So every year she does a financial class. If you want to stop by and sign up, I want to encourage you to do that. She's got it scheduled. It's in the bulletin. You can sign up, take part in the class. It's going to really kind of give you a more foundation than what I'm going to be able to give you in just a few minutes I have with you this morning. But I want to begin with this. As you look at your outline, I want to begin with this. I give to God first, all right? I want to begin first and foremost, right off the top, we need to start by giving to God. That's the principle. That's what God says. Look, it's very plain in the Scripture. Honor the Lord with your wealth and the first and best part of your income. Then your barns will be full and your vats will overflow with fresh wine. We need to put God first in our finances. Yeah. I got my paycheck this morning. I get paid once a month. I got my paycheck this morning. I will sit down tonight because I'm going to go to the bank tomorrow, and I will outline how that money is going to be spent. I already know. It's already figured out. Right off the top, first thing I put down is my tithe and my offering. Second thing I put down, I mean, you can look. I have this little sticky note I will stick on my check when I go to the bank so I know exactly what I'm going to do. Tithe and offering on the top. House payment number two. I'm going to pay for my house. They're not going to take that away. You know, so my house payment, then my car insurance. You know, anybody got insurance? I hope you all do. Yeah. Just that financial responsibility. But right on the top, first thing. See, I remember going to church as a child. My parents would drag us to church. Anybody ever been drugged to church? Yeah. Dragging to church. I remember watching the plate go by, and my parents would throw a $20 bill in. Yeah. That's what I learned from watching my parents. But when I became a Christian, I noticed, wait a minute, there's a biblical teaching here. It's not about the $20 bill. It's about God has blessed me. And I learned through the scripture. I want to tell you, pick that pamphlet, because here's the principle. And I'm not going to beat you on the head with it. I just want you to understand. It's systematic, proportionally, cheerful giving. That's the three things the Bible says. Systematically, proportionally, and cheerfully. And so I just want to encourage you there. But it needs to be a priority. We need to put God first in our finances. And the thing I always think about is, you know, if I didn't have my health, you know, and who helps me stay healthy? Yeah. God gave me abilities and talents. Hopefully it's ability to preach. At least I think so. I don't know what you think, but I believe it is. Yeah. I mean, and we need to be financially responsible with what God has blessed us with and what God has blessed us for. And that's our responsibility. We need to put God first. Look again at what the scripture says here. This is a rather long passage. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue or on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret rewards you. Yeah. It's just something you have to decide. You have to diligently pray for. Is it diligently seek God and give God back systematically, proportionately, and cheerfully from what God has blessed you with? That I can't water the gospel down. I can't make it sound any easier. I'm not going to beat around the bush. I just got to tell you, I believe what the Bible says. I need to be faithful with my finances. And it's a challenge. I don't know about you, but you know, Laura lost her job. We had a good time talking about that this week with our family. You know, when you're the one that lays your wife off, that really makes you feel good. You know, honey, you don't have a job no more. Guess who's going to cut your salary? Me. All right. Yeah. And all of a sudden, we're trying to rewrite our budget. You know, I'll be honest with you. The school's got it all messed up. We don't know what she makes right now. She's got three checks for 3 months, and each one's been different. I don't know what we have. But we sat down, and we've talked about this. Yeah. What are we going to do? You're losing hours. They're going to do go on and on and on with what's going on. And our decision was, we cut back on what I was giving to the building fund, what we were doing for the building fund, but we're still giving what we were giving as our tithe and our offering. That's what we did. We're still going to give that much, even though it's going to be more than the 10%. It doesn't matter. That's what we've decided. We talked about this one day as we were looking at what we're going to do. And I want to encourage you, make it a family matter to sit down and figure out what God would have you lay at his table. I don't want to see parking meters in our church and money at the bathroom door, you know, or get you guys some headphones, you know, and charge you for headphones. That I love that video. To me, that was so cute, you know. And it's just, you know, those are the things that we have to pay. We rent the building here. And Ron's going to go over the budget with you at the end. The ushers are going to pass you guys out a budget. There is no secrets in this church. There's nothing hidden in this church. It's all out for everybody to see. We're going to pass out a budget. Ron's going to kind of describe that to you, kind of tell you what's going on there. We want you to take it home. We want you to pray about your part and what God is doing in the ministry here. And then at the end of the month, at the end of December, we're going to adopt the budget. We'll say, yes, this is the budget for the church. And if you have questions, there's things you can do. We'll talk about that later. But I want you to look at that. I want you to think about it, because this is your church. It's what you have. And it's not just ministry, it's finance, it's all of us working together to accomplish what God wants. And so I want to begin with that. I could have put this on the end and talked about these others and then kind of slipped this in at the end. I just put it at the top because it is the top. First things first, God first, honor him, and he'll take care of the rest. And I've seen this over and over. I've experienced this over and over. It's the hand of God in our lives. So give to God first. The second thing I want you to know about your finances as you're looking at your outline is this. I stay away from credit. Does that sound okay? I stay away from credit. This is different than what the world teaches. The world teaches get you a credit card, get some good credit numbers going. You need a rating of 800 or better. you know, you need to get all your stuff in order. Get you some credit going, all right? You need to get a credit card and establish a good credit record. And you got to get your, you know, and it just outlines all this. I want to tell you, the government and the economy is so set up, they never mess it up. I mean, you know, the economy just rolls along. Income just keeps getting bigger. Houses keep getting worth more. Cars just keep getting better, right? Come on now. Yeah. If we do things the world's way, we're in a really big trouble right now, aren't we? There's a lot of people in trouble doing it the world's way. Taking money out of your house. You had, you know, what do they call that money in the house that you had above what you owe? And what was it? Equity. There you go. I heard all of it. I heard one voice. Yeah, you know, 90 days, same as cash. That's called credit. All right? You know, no interest for a year. Let me tell you, there's interest for the year. They're just not telling you until you miss a payment when that year's up. Then you got that interest in 21% on top of that. I mean, credit will get you in trouble. Guaranteed. I love what the Bible says. Oh, no man anything but to love one another. He that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Oh, no one anything. Credit will mess you up every time. And we need to watch it. Because we enjoy credit. Some people live on their credit. They buy everything on credit. I've got to watch it because I pay my credit card off every month. And it's so interesting. You know, the government just passed some new laws to protect us. Anybody been watching that? You know, the Senate and the House and all that. We got to protect the people from the credit card companies. And so they passed a new law. And then this week I got a letter from one of my credit cards saying, we changed our policy. And I got a number 6 font here. You know, and it's like, I'm supposed to understand all this. Anybody ever get these kind of things? Yeah. When they print this small, can you really trust them? I mean, it's like, I don't understand half the stuff. But the one thing I do know, as long as I pay it off every month, they ain't getting anything from me. And if I don't use it, they're not getting anything from me. I just want to, I mean, learn this young, okay? This is why I wanted to put this in here. You're young. Learn this now. Avoid credit. 90 days, same as cash, is credit. All right? You miss one payment. You know, I've sat back and I've seen these credit things where 21% interest on car payments. I love it when I go to one of the department stores. I'm not going to name Sears, but I go to one of the department stores. And they got the wash machine sitting there. $16 a month. Anybody see those? Anybody been there? Yeah. $16 a month for 17 years. I'm serious. It's like your housemate. I really felt good this year for my house because all of a sudden my principal is bigger than the interest now. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, it's like, boy, I'm paying more principal now than interest. Finally. Yeah. We used to think houses were a good investment, right? Come on, houses were a good investment. Now how many people are upside down? And I want to tell you something. You need to understand this. A car is not an investment. All right? I watch Channel 32. It's Speed Channel every once in a while. And they had this big car auction going off in Phoenix, Arizona or something. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I can't remember what it is. But yeah, there you go. Guys are paying thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars for cars. It's a car. You know, it's a car. Now, if it was a 64 convertible Mustang like I had when I was a kid, I might, you know, it might be tempting. You know, but it's a car. I want to, you listen, that 64-inch TV is not an investment either, all right? Husband, I don't care what you tell your wife. A 64-inch TV is not an investment, all right? Yeah. That we take our credit I want to tell you, oh, no man anything. What does God say? You want to stay out of trouble? You don't want to have to worry about the recession? You have to worry about, you know, there's been 13 recessions since the Great Depression. Did you know that? 13 recessions since the Great Depression. It's going to happen again. All right? So avoid that credit. Look what the next verse says. This verse is really cruel. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a servant to the lender. How many are slaves to the bank? You know, here's a perfect name for a credit card. MasterCard. They will master you. All right. Or how about this one? I found this one the other day too. American Distress. You can really get distressed over your credit card. We need to be aware that we can become slaves to our credit. And God said this. And what's so amazing to me, let's see, this is Proverbs. That's only 3,000 years old. You know, 3,000 years ago, God says, watch out for credit. We've really learned a lot in 3,000 years, haven't we? We've come a long ways. Take your plastic and go. They have a really good thing now that I think is very positive in the respect to this. It's called a debit card. See, with a debit card, if there ain't no money, you ain't using it, all right? I mean, that's the principle of the thing. If you don't have it, don't pay for it. I mean, that's it. And I just love what God says here. We need to take care of our finances. You know, like I say, this is a message on finances. It's tithing, but if you don't have anything, guess what? You can't give anything. If you have debt, can you imagine this? What would it be like to be debt-free? You know what day I'm looking forward to? Yeah, I'm on the internet with my banking. I do all my banking on the October of, I think it's 2018 or 2019. I can't remember right now. It's been a while since I checked it. My house will be paid for. I can't wait to that day. Yeah, it's all penciled out. I've got it all figured out. October of 2018, I think it's 18 because I think I got it down to 9 years now. You know, my house is paid off. Whew. Then it's like, whoa, what a relief. Yeah. Then I want to sell it and move to Southern California when I retire, and it's going to, oh, now what am I going to do? Yeah. But watch out for credit. Can I share that? You know, some of us are older. We've been around longer. You know, well, I know how to use credit. Sooner or later, it catches up with you. Sooner or later, it will bite you. So just avoid the credit. God had great wisdom. The rich will rule over. Oh, no man, nothing. I think these are great principles for us to have. Yeah. I was doing some research on this. You know the average car payment? I didn't know this. Is $478 for 84 months. I'm going, that's a lot. I remember when I bought my first car, it was $5,000 and it was $132 a month. And I had a paper from the Southern Baptist Credit Union that says I can go out and buy a car for $5,000. I didn't buy a car for 6 months. I'm a penny pincher. People make fun of me all the time. My uncle did the other day. I won't break a dollar bill for 50 cents, okay? If I got 50 cents, I want the candy bar, I'll buy it. If I got a dollar, I don't need it that bad. But I had that paper that said five. You know, when I bought the car, was this. My car battery went dead. I pull into the parking lot to buy the car, and it gets a flat tire. That's when I bought that Mercury Capri 4-speed. Man, it was great. Third gear scratch. I mean, you could really have fun with that car. Yeah. We got to watch out for credit. I can't imagine $478 for 84 months. I thought 60 months was a long time when I had $300 a month for 60 months. But that's what the average is now. So just avoid credit. Watch out. It will eat you alive. Especially if you can't have credit. You can't give if you have debt. It just doesn't work. The next thing I put down here is I act my wage, not my age, my wage, all right? I'm going to act my wage. How much do I make? Here's the challenge, all right? The studies have said we spend $1.06 for every dollar we make. How does that work out? Can somebody explain that to me? That the average spending is $1.06 for every dollar we earn. It's like you go to, Laura and I stopped by one of the casinos coming home. We went to the mountains, and usually it's a cheaper place to eat. but it smelled like cigarette smoke, so we left. Yeah. And so we were going to have lunch there. But you see this thing sitting on a hill, and you got this big monster casino. I remember driving up by Bass Lake. Who's paying for it? I mean, we're going to give our money away, so we're going to build this big old hotel and big old casino. Come here so we can give you our money. Is that what they do? Yeah. I love the sign when I walked around Tahoe that one time, 98% payback. I love that. Listen, I'll share this with you. I'm going to stand at the back door at the end, and if you want to give me a dollar, I'll give you 98 cents. I'll trade you as long as you want to trade, okay? I mean, just as long as you want to do that, you give me a dollar, and I'll give you 98 cents. That's what the casinos tell people. I mean, they don't build that on their own money. I've talked to people, and I know people that's got comp rooms and comp mills, and I don't get it. I'm a loser anyway, and I'm not going to mess with them because they're just going to steal my money. But I'm going to tell you what's fun. You want to know something fun? You go to the sports area of it, and if you don't drink, a lot of times they used to take you and give you sodas. And you go sit at the sports area, and you just watch people. And it is so much fun to watch people. One of the times, it was great, this guy comes up, he grabs a slot machine handle, and he grabs his handle, and as he pulls it back, he goes back. Boom. He hits the ground. Another drunk comes walking up, sets his drink down, kicks his drink over, trying to help the guy up. I'm just sitting there having a great time. This is fun. I mean, this is fun. You know, we're sitting there over at Circus, looking down on this, and this lady's playing four slot machines. I mean, she's just playing the, and some lady comes up and grabs one of the handles. He almost broke that lady's arm. I mean, it was going to be a fight on the floor. I mean, yeah. If you want to trade money, give me a dollar. I'll give you 98 cents all day long. I'll do it 2 days, as a matter of fact. I'll give you 2 days, all right? We got to learn to live with what we make. Matter of fact, you got to live on less than you make. We need to learn to live within our wages, all right? We need to learn to live with what God has provided for us. Some people have better provisions than others, and that's okay. I just need to live on what I have. See, one of the challenges that I've seen and that I've experienced even myself, personally, it's like when you grow up, you want to do better than your parents. Am I right? Come on now. And so when you get married, you want to have, you know, a bigger home, a nicer car, and a larger TV. I mean, those are the priorities, right? When you're young, you got, here's your three priorities. The bigger house, especially the nicer car, and for sure you want that HD TV that's 64 inches, okay? I mean, yeah. And you try to keep up with your parents. We want to get up with our parents, and that took them 30 years to get that, and we're trying to get it in 6 months. That's why we have visas come to save your life. We got to learn to live with what we have. Learn to live within the means of what God has blessed us with. And that's a challenge. I mean, look at what the scripture says. In the house of the wise are stores of choice food and oil, but the foolish man devours all he has. That's why I call the series a wise guy. That's why I call the message a wise guy. I want you to be wise. You can't give if you're not wise. I don't want this message just to beat you on about tithing. You got to give to the church. You know, if you ain't got it, you can't give it. So if you can learn these principles, and maybe for the church it take time to pay off later on, but learn to live within your means. As a matter of fact, less than what you have. And live with the wages. I like that. I act my wage. What do I make? How much can I spend? Like I said, I sit down and pencil everything out. I'll go to the bank tomorrow morning, and I'll say, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, take care. I don't have credit. I don't have checks. Yeah. So I got to go to the bank. Then I run over to Winco so I can buy cheap money orders, all right? They're 25 cents at Winco. You know, I'm cheap. Yeah. I don't want to have a check because, you know, if you write a check and you don't have enough to cover it, the bank's got you covered. They'll take care of you. Just give them an extra $35. Yeah. And then not only they're going to charge you $35, but whoever you gave the check to, they're going to charge you $35. Yeah. We need to learn to live with what we make. And the last point I have here is this. Oh, let me, yeah, the last point I have, I read both my verses, didn't I? Yeah. Oh, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. Oh, I want to know. I know what I wanted to say with this verse. Get a spending plan. All right? I don't like the word budget. That implies I can't spend anything. I like spending plan because that says I get to spend it, okay? So I like spending plan better than budget. It says a plan. Set down a plan. What are you going to do? I have a plan to pay my house off early. I pay extra on the principal every month so I can pay my house off early. I have a plan. Make a plan. What do you want to do? Laura and I went took our family to Disney World. We had a plan so that we could have the money. So when we got back from Disney World, we had no credit card debt whatsoever because we had a plan to make that trip. Make a budget. Figure out a spending plan. I like spending plan. You can call it a budget if you want. But that's one of the plans of the diligent lead to profit. If you want to get ahead, you want to have some money, you want to have some security, you want to have some safety, make a plan. Make a plan. Live within what you make. The last one I put here is this. I save some money. I save money. We need to have a savings account. This is something that I see on TV now. The government has commercials on this. Feed the pig. Anybody seen the Feed the Pig commercial? Yeah, the government has Feed the Pig now because they want you to save some money. See, we're not like the government. I cannot print any more money, all right? If I did, I'd be in Fort Leavenworth, all right? I have my own fort, all right? You know, and it wouldn't be nice. We can't print on. I can't run a deficit, all right? I'm not the government. I need to have some savings. I think the government doesn't have any savings. We're deficit spending. And we need to back up and we need to put some money in the house. Look back to this verse again. Look at the very first part. In the wise house are stores of choice food and oil. I got some bad news for you. 78% of us will have a major problem in the next within 10 years. You need to have a savings. That's what the point is. 78% of us will have a financial problem in the next 10 years. That's what the studies say. Do you have a savings? Are you building a savings? The studies say, and Linda will teach you in her class, you need to have anywhere from 3 to 6 months of savings. I've never got there. I've never reached 3 to 6 months of savings. My goal is to have 3 months of my house payment. Yeah. You need to know, one time I lived in a house and the lady decided I was a rental, and the lady decided she wanted a house for her daughter, and I got a 30-day notice to get out. That is an eye-opening experience. I want my own house so nobody can tell me to move as long as I pay my payment. I paid her, but she decided she had other plans. So you see me talk about a house all the time. That just kind of hangs over my head. Yeah. But you need to save some money. I put some money, as I tell you, I pencil that out. I put some money in a savings account in Southern California. That way, for me to get it, I just don't walk up to the bank and get it. I got to call them. Send me a check and tell them to send me a check. And that's what I do. I send money that way because if it's handy for me, I'm in trouble. It's like, hey, I want that. I'm not going to charge it. So, hey, I need to go. Let's go to the bank. We'll just get that ATM. Maybe I got an ATM card, you know, all right, now I can go get it. Yeah. Build a savings account. Commit yourself. I don't care if you're putting $10 a month. I don't care if it's $20 a month. I don't care if it's $50. I don't care what it is. But begin to put some money aside for a rainy day. Because it's not if they're going to happen, it's when is it going to happen. And begin to build a savings account. I just want to challenge you. You know, as I said, as I looked at the message this morning and I was going to talk about finances and I was going to talk about tithing and all of that, I wanted to kind of step back. We do need to give. It is our responsibility to give. I need to give cheerfully. You know, I want to give. If you're going to give the tithe not cheerfully, then keep it. God doesn't need it. Yeah. God isn't saying, man, I'm running short of money. I better bless somebody so they give me back that 10%. God doesn't work that way. You know, if God wanted it, I'm going to tell you something. Let me give you some good news. If God wanted your money, he would find a way to get it. You know, it's that simple. You know? And I hear people say, well, I don't want to go to church. All they want is money. All the church wants is money. I need you here. I was so excited when we had the gospel mission and took coats down there, and we had a garage sale and took money to the so they give Thanksgiving baskets away. That's what it's about. But you still need that financial base and that financial responsibility. And I just got to teach the whole word. And what's so interesting, people will talk about the church and say, all the churches wants my money. You know what? I went to Kmart Thanksgiving Day. I went to, and you know what? All Kmart wanted was my money. I mean, every time I turned around, they had all these sales, and all they were trying to get was my money. They were trying to separate me from my money. All right? I went to Walmart the next day. Anybody go to Walmart? You know, the day after Thanksgiving, that Black Friday, whatever they call that thing. Yeah. And all they wanted was my money. I mean, every time I turn around, I go to McDonald's and I want a hamburger. You know what they want? All I wanted was a hamburger at McDonald's, and they wanted my money. Yeah. You know, we don't talk about them, but the church wants my money. I don't want your stinking money, all right? If you don't want to give it cheerfully, keep it. You know, I don't care. But here's what God's word says. And I want you to look at God's word. In the back, as you go out, there's this little flyer. It looks like this. Hilarious giving, debunking five myths, five tithing myths. It's going to be on the table back there. Dan's going to be by the table. Pick one of these up. Check out what God's word said. That's all I'm saying. This message for me is, if you can't do this, you're never going to get here. If you cannot give to God first, live within your wages, save a little money, and don't use credit, you'll never get to be able to give. We were watching a show last night, The Secret Santa. And the guy was talking. It was really a cute show. He worked at a convalescent home. And he ministered to people at the convalescent home. And many people had no other family, so when they died, they left him the money. And he said he didn't know what to do with the money because it wasn't really his money. So he worked with another guy that set up a bank account, and they put all the money in the bank account, and every year he picked a family and blessed them out of that bank account because that wasn't his money. He continued to work at the convalescent home. Nobody knew who Secret Santa was. There was a reporter trying to figure out what it was and what was going on. And he just had all this coming in because he had everything else figured out. He was able to do the blessing. His whole comment at the end, he says, you don't know how much of a blessing it is to give, to be a part. And that's what I want to challenge you with. That's what it's about. Look at this last verse here. Four things on earth are small, yet they are extremely wise. Ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. Are you prepared for the future? Are you preparing? You got to save a little bit. You got to live with your wages. You have to stay away from that credit. And you got to give back to God. I just wanted to challenge you with that. So I wanted to pick it up on the back, I don't know, 15 verses or so. Kind of talks about some myths that people have about tithing. Because tithing is part of the law. It's not an option. And it has all sorts of things in here. So I just wanted to pick this up for you. I want you to study it on your own. You know, I could preach it, but you know, that's just Gary up there talking again. Take it home and study and see what God has to say. That's all I can ask. But I want you to look at all your finances. And I want you to step back and be wise with what God has blessed you with. At the bottom of the page, it put it this way. I want to be wise with my finances. Do you? And I want to challenge you. You're going to get a budget as we wrap up our service this morning at the end. And I want you to look it over for our church. And Ron's going to share a few things, but it's not just about the budget. It's about your home budget, too. It's about being good stewards of what God has blessed you with. And so I just want to challenge you to be wise with the generosity and the blessings of God. Would you join me in a word of prayer?